Well, hello, and welcome to Python 411, Computer Programming for Everybody. This is a podcast called Milestones because there's so much going on in the Python community. I've been traveling on personal business and really stressed out, but I had to do a podcast because it's been a week and a half, and I have several announcements to make that if you're following along closely online, you may have noticed, but exciting things in the Python community and in the Python 411 world. But after these announcements, we have a very educational segment submitted by a listener and Pythonista, Duncan McNeil of Australia. And he has sent in a six-minute, very educational segment. I listened to it three times already myself. A short piece of code that he wrote in Python, even as a new Pythonista, to solve some Windows printing problems that he had. And I don't know if you've ever tried to print a lot of Windows documents all at the same time, sort of as a batch, like a folder full of documents, it can really bog down your machine, and sometimes it just doesn't work because Windows printing leaves something to be desired. But basically, he had this problem, Duncan did, and he managed to solve it by a 6 or 7 line Python script, which he goes through line by line, very simple, telling you what he did. And it also shows how Python plays well and works with other tools. In his case, he was using PHP and MySQL, I believe. And Python was able to jump right in, and he wrote the little script and solved a lot of problems. And it's so neat that Python can do this kind of thing, and it's something I think it's educational. But before we do that, we're going to talk about all of the new things going on, the milestones being reached in the Python community. First off, it is very close to the introduction of the next version of Python, Python 2.5. Yes, Python 2.5, the final release, or the first release candidate, or the final release candidate, release candidate 1, was issued on August 17th, and the final release is scheduled for September 12th. Now, Python 2.5 is a major upgrade to Python. I have a bit of a frog in my throat. I keep redoing this, but here is a summary of what's new in Python 2.5. It includes new conditional expressions, which are a real convenience, partial function applications, metadata for Python software packages, absolute and relative imports, executing modules as scripts, a unified try, except finally, new generator features. That one's probably the most interesting to me. The new generator features are very easy to understand, and I find generators more and more to be really cool. A new with statement. And the with statement is probably not something I will use for a long, long time. That it really deals with very special cases, and I'm just going to say that. Okay, exceptions as new style classes. And then various other changes that I'm not going to mention, too numerous to mention, and also optimizations, bug fixes, and speedups, and new and improved library modules, including the new C-types package, the element tree package from Frederick Lund being added to the standard library, the HashLib package, the SQLite 3 package, and the WSGI ref package. So it's really a major upgrade, and it's just another example of Python advancing like clockwork. So another milestone on the way to Python 3000. But that's not all that's new. Another thing that's new is that IronPython is also nearing its official 1.0 release. I mean, it's right on the cusp. And if you read the blog of Fuzzy Man, a.k.a. Michael Ford, who we interviewed on here, who uses IronPython in his employment situation, you know, he's excited about it, and he gives the blow-by-blow reports of the progress on IronPython. So I recommend Fuzzy Man's blog, Void Space. But IronPython is another big advance. So you've got a new IronPython version, the first official production release of IronPython from Microsoft for .NET, imminent. And then you have Python 2.5 imminent at the same time. These are two major milestones for our most beloved language. Now, while I'm at it, I want to mention that The Maker by Gerald Spreer, who we interviewed here, The Maker content management system also has a new release out. Thank you, Gerald Spreer. Check that out. And we also have a whole lot of new things upcoming here on Python 411. I know I keep saying that, but really, believe me, I think we have our own milestone here. I'm just going to announce that, you know, this is about the, this is the, I believe, the approximately the 50th Python 411 podcast. And since I have an equal number of my other podcast series, that means I've done 100 of these in the last year and a half. But the 50th Python 411, and I think we finally passed the threshold where the number of new opportunities to do exciting things is a continuous flow. And I have my new sound system working very well. I have Skype working, including conference calls. So I have a number of interviews and guest podcasts lined up that are really going to be the main offerings here going forward. And I, because I've been traveling so much, I'm doing this one as an interim podcast. But believe me, some exciting educational, we'll be switching back and forth between tutorial type educational, but even more so, interviews with interesting people doing interesting things with Python. And that's very exciting for me. I still certainly hope that I encourage you all to come forward with ideas and offerings. I'm not going out and seeking people now so much as just letting people come to me with ideas, and that's working out very well. We are going to have some material on data Python and databases coming up, which is something that's been often requested, and some more information on WXPython, and some information on game programming. Very exciting things that are being contributed to by people who are really very knowledgeable about these areas of Python programming. And another thing that has happened, if you've been following this week online, there was a mysterious pronouncement by Guido, oh boy, I have to pronounce our benevolent dictators for life name. I have to pronounce his name accurately. And it's very hard to do when you are me. So Guido van Rossum made a pronouncement about Django being the preferred web framework module. And that stirred up a lot of controversy. As you may know, a lot of people have angst because Ruby, which was a much less popular programming language, has become extremely popular with a lot of momentum, almost exclusively because of the web framework Ruby on Rails. And that Ruby on Rails is about the only web framework of any substance, almost, available for Ruby. And Python has so many great web frameworks like Zope and TurboGears and Django and Pylons and Web.py and many, many others. And so, Twisted, you know. And so the idea on some people's lips is that this hurts Python. And so maybe that's why Guido made this pronouncement. And the pronouncement, really, he didn't put it on his blog or anything. It's a secondhand announcement, but a reliable one. And so it's interesting. I mean, Kevin Dangor, who is the lead developer, I hope I did your name justice off the top of my head. Kevin, but I know he's the lead developer on TurboGears, which is, TurboGears and Django are probably the up-and-coming leaders amongst Python web frameworks, while Zope is the granddaddy of them all, and Twisted and Web.py and Pylons are also good. But Django and TurboGears, so it's a dilemma. Do you endorse one, or do you stick with it? Well, there was this pronouncement you need to know, Well, Django is probably the single area that I most want to explore personally that I haven't yet explored. I really want to spend some quality time, and boy, as soon as I get some time, that's exactly what I'm going to do, and I'll report to you my findings. But Django sounds very interesting, although I would love also to have anyone who has experience with Django to let me interview you over Skype or over the phone, or do a guest podcast about it. I would love that because I'm very interested in Django, and I'm sure that a lot of people are. So, or if you have experience with any of the other web frameworks, by all means, tell your story, do a little advocacy for your own framework, even though Guido appears to have endorsed Django. So that's the controversy of the week, and there you have it. But I do think that a lot of exciting things are happening, and now I want to get on to the educational meat of this week's podcast. So, as I say, this is a 6.5 minute segment from Duncan McNeil of Australia in Solving Windows Printing Problems.
Hi, Ron. This is Duncan McNeil dropping you a line all the way from Australia. So don't adjust your MP3 player. I do have an Australian accent. Just thought I'd drop you a line and let you know about a way that Python has been helping me at work. I wrote a assignment upload system for a student system that we work on. And some of the antiquated markers of these assignments actually request a printed copy of all of these assignments, which leads to many hundreds of printed documents, materials. Now, I don't know if you've had any experience with printing multiple documents under Windows, but if you select all of the documents in a folder and right-click on them, and if there's enough of them, and hit right-click and hit print, you'll end up pretty quickly with a extremely overburdened machine that will eventually just grind to a halt. Not what you're expecting and not what you want. Similarly, under the command shell in Windows XP, if you launch off a print command, it's more or less a line printer. So it takes the document that you've got and prints it out as straight text. So I thought, well, this has got to be a situation where Python could come in handy. The assignment uploading system was written in MySQL and PHP, which I've been using for quite a while. And I'd only been using Python for a few months, but I knew about the Win32 API, and so I knew you could print from Python using the Windows native API. So what I did, rather than going into the heavy scripting of a Python application, I took the a PHP script, which actually used to list all the assignments that were uploaded and the location of the cover sheet, which is created on the fly from the database and the assignment itself, and turned it into a Python printing application. So rather than loop over each of the resources out of the database using Python, which I'm sure I could have done, I was a lot more comfortable in actually just getting PHP to spit out an extraordinarily long Python application with every single loop included. So I just thought I'd go, there's only really five lines to initiate the whole thing, so I thought I'd just go over them. The first one was import temp file, which I can't remember exactly what the temp file module was being used for. I think I may have dropped it in the eventual thing but left the import in there by mistake. Second one is, of course, the import Win32 API, which is the that allows me to print each of the documents using the Windows environment. So if it's a document, a Word document or an Excel sheet, it actually goes to the right application and prints. From time, I'm importing sleep. So from time, import sleep. And that was because basically I didn't want the printing to get ahead too far of the print queue and basically cause all those problems that I was getting when I was right-clicking on hundreds of files and choosing print. I apologise, of course, to all the environmentalists out there who wince at the thought of me printing a whole forest of assignments. There was no alternative, although I can report that a lot of people are using the CD-ROM now to mark the assignments, which is very nice. The next line in the Python script was the import URL lib2, and that was to go and fetch the cover sheet from the internet. So it was just f equals URL lib2 dot URL open, and then I just put the address of the individual cover sheet with its ID number. Now, a handy little trick in PHP is you can create a file in Word, save it as rich text format, and wherever you want to replace something in that Word document with a variable, you can simply replace it with a PHP variable and get the PHP to serve the document using a MIME type to pretend the Word document that you're downloading is a rich text format document, and then basically you can create cover sheets on the fly. But back to the Python section. So basically for each row in the database, I was going in, downloading that cover sheet to a temporary file, calling the win32api.shell-execute, and I stole a little bit of code. I'm not sure exactly what each part of it does, but it's basically 0, comma print, comma the location of the document, comma none, which I think was the none was what do you do in terms of prompting the user, so I didn't want any prompting, comma a full stop and comma a 0, which I've got no idea what those do because I borrowed the code. And then the next thing I did was just simply repeat that win32 API shell execute on the actual location of the assignment file. And finally, just I did a quick sleep 5, which basically, after the document is printed, it just waits for 5 seconds, and then outputting the actual receipt number and the ID number of the document so that I know from the command line where I'm up to. Now, this little application, very, very small, very simple, has saved me an enormous amount of time, so I was very happy to have found a Python solution to a Windows printing problem. Hope you can use this, and thanks very much. I love the show. Bye.
Well, thank you, Duncan. That is very interesting, and it shows how Python can be used very profitably as a scripting language as well as a major application development tool. And if anyone else out there has little tidbits like that, simple scripts that have helped you save some time and some energy and that illustrate using Python in a creative way, hey, send me an MP3 file and I'll play it here on one of the upcoming episodes of Python 411. So look forward to the upcoming interviews and podcasts. So for now, this is Ron Stevens of Python 411, computer programming for everybody. Thank you.